Welcome back, Monsignor.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so beautiful to talk to you. What's really kind of been happening, Chris, is we've been following this liturgical calendar after Christmas. First, how wise our Mother Church is. She takes us from the innocent child, God's love revealed to us through the incarnation, the Word made flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, born in Bethlehem. Angels singing on high, peace to men of goodwill. And then almost immediately the skies darken and the first martyr of the church, December 26, Saint Stephen, and bloodshed, stoning to death, and Stephen who sees heaven open and Jesus at the right hand of God, and forgiving those who were stoning him and killing him, and the bloodshed in Jerusalem, right next to the cradle, the crib, is again the suffering and the death of a Christian, Saint Stephen, the first martyr. And then, of course, the magnificent apostle that God sends out, Saint John, the 27th of December, an old man radiating love, saturated with the love of Jesus in his 95, 96 years, just before he dies, preaching, love one another. The whole gospel is love. The sweetness of a man living the fullness of the gospel, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, living the gospel. The sweet and loving lover of the Sacred Heart, John. And now today, the Holy Innocents, Herod wanting to kill the baby Jesus. And when he can't get at the child, he decides because the Magi don't come and return, he's going to go in search of that new king. And so what does he do? He kills all the children in that area for 2 years and under. And this is the feast that we call the Holy Innocents, babies who shed their blood for Christ. And so I remember you and I talking one time, and you're telling me about the Holocaust. Of all the people killed in the wars, the children that are now being aborted, and they come to their death without, just like these babies. They don't even cry. They just die within the womb. And how few there are to speak for them. And there are those who are speaking out against the horrors of what I really see it as. Do you want to just talk about the vastness of the horror in the killing of the babies? I don't know how many died around Jerusalem at that time. 50 babies, 100. But what is the horror of the statistics on abortion in our country?
Well, the last I heard, just in the United States with abortion, 52 million.
52 million.
Just what we've done to the children in the womb. And that's not even including embryonic stem cell research, the children that are discarded because of contraception. And that's just in the United States, Monsignor. We're not talking about what we've exported to the rest of the world.
When I see the vastness of the horror, how can you get your mind, if you're listening to us today, how do you get your mind? Those are just statistics. But when you go, a child, a baby, a fetus, one by one, what does that mean? What is that horror? And what I see it as is it's demonic. The vastness is the hatred of the devil for children. But I even see it more deeply. I have a passage here in the 12th chapter of Revelations. And it's it here we begin. A great sign appeared in the sky. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth, to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God, that there she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and its angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon, now listen, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down to the earth, and its angels were thrown down with it. Now, what I see from this text in Revelations is the devil looking at the womb of the woman. The devil hates life. First, who is Jesus? The one who was born at Christmas. I am the way and the truth and the life. That's who I am. And I have come into the world through the woman, Mary. I have been brought forth. I am the fruit. You know how we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, and the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That's who this is, the fruit of the womb. Now there, sitting right before Mary, wanting to kill this baby. Now, he couldn't get the baby, but today he destroys these babies. The very same thing is happening today, 2011, this December day, 28th, that the devil hates the womb of the woman. And if you who are listening, and I'm thinking of you, Chris, you as a mother, and every mother that I'm speaking to, when you become pregnant, the devil hates the fruit of your womb. He wants to devour that child. He wants to destroy it. The devil hates life. And this is really when we talk about life. This life is produced by humans through the womb. The husband and the wife, the mother and the father, who are producing this child. And there is the devil of the barren womb. Contraception first. Killing of the baby within the womb. Abortion. The devil hates life. So as we speak of this, the vastness of these millions of babies that are dying. And so I really believe that as we just consider today the Feast of the Holy Innocents, what I see in the world today is this serpent, the ancient devil, wanting to destroy life itself. Mother Teresa always said, the greatest tragedy in the world today is abortion. That when a mother can kill her own baby, what has the devil done entering into the heart of a mother to kill her child? What has the devil done to you doctors who want to, instead of bringing life and health through your skill, bring death? And so in this civilization of death that really surrounds us, what do we have? Great hope. Because this goes on to say that Michael and his angels battle against the dragon. The dragon and its angels fought back, but they did not prevail. And there was no longer any room for them. And so what does this message, you know, I often think of priests and people who talk about abortion, not in such a way that this is a battle between equals. The devil is going to win. No, God is going to win. Life is going to win. There is not a battle between equals. And darkness and Satan and this death that surrounds this whole question, God, through all of us who will come to recognize the power of human life, that given by God, through God, so that every single woman, every man who has life bearing within them is going to use that power for the glory and the honor of God. That although we are in a very dark world, so that, you know, we can look at World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and look at wars that are still encircling the globe, and these wars in no way are comparable to abortion, death, the death of a human, not the death of a soldier in battle, but the death of an innocent child in the womb. And so as we do battle against, to identify the enemy is so important. What is this battle against? This battle against abortion. That Mother Teresa used to say to, she would fight abortion through adoption. Look at the baby. See the baby. Christmas, life. And just look around and see a baby. In my own family, I just see how the value of a baby in my own family is being lessened and lessened with regard to its beauty, its dignity, and its goodness. If you've had a child, Pope John Paul used to say, what is the best thing you can give your child? How about a brother and a sister to be with them? I remember, you know, my birth was on June the 13th, 1928, and I had a brother given to me December 31st, 1929. You know, what a gift this has been to me all my life. And those of you who are listening, do you have a brother or a sister? Do you have two sisters and a brother? What gifts you have in your family? What do these come from? The womb. They come from the womb. This power that we have to produce life, magnificent life. In my own family, one of my family got pregnant when she was 16. And I remember just being with her. I loved her so much. And we talked about it. And she spent some time in a maternity home. And then she gave the baby up for adoption. But it was always in her heart that she really longed to see that child. 2 years ago, that child, because of the rules being relaxed more, that child appeared at her door and said, "Hi, Mom. Thank you. Thank you." That relative of mine was so thrilled. All her life, she had remembered she had had this baby. And there he was, a handsome young man who had been adopted and grown up. Young soldier, now that he was.
Wow.
Yeah. And he came and knocked at her door. The joy. A baby. You know, how this violence that Satan has against children, against babies. When I was in Lebanon, there was a village of Damour, and some fanatic Muslims came through. And they, of course, had, you know, we saw it recently with a 39 killed at St. Teresa's Church in Nigeria. Well, here in this town of Damour, these radical Muslims came through, and this is what they did. They went to the village church, and they took the children, and they killed them on the altar. They killed them on the altar. They actually killed them. And then there was one little girl. Her name was Maria El Khoury. And they laid her on the altar, and they shot her through with machine gun. They severed her spinal cord, and they just left the children there, bloodied and mostly dead. The only child that lived was Maria El Khoury, but paralyzed, paraplegic. When I visited Damour as the pontifical mission director, I went to this home where these children were being taken care of by the nuns. And I looked at her beautiful face. I think she was about 12. And she had been rehabilitated and was able to perform certain things. And the only thing she could move was her head and her mouth. And she used to draw the most beautiful pictures. And one of the things she drew and made for me was a nativity scene. She drew Mary with the baby Jesus in her arms. Her name was Maria, of course. I don't know, she must be in her 40s now. I don't know if she's still living. But children, the violence done against children. And here was a child who survived the violence. And here was a child now who very beautifully was just so loving, reflecting light and goodness and beauty, life, the fruit of the womb. I remember meeting, there was a beautiful lady. My mother and father, when I went to South America, used to have a prayer group. And this woman who belonged to their prayer group was really a living saint. And she was always so devoted to prayer. And actually, my parents really saw her as a saint. And when I came back from South America, I was very sick. And my dad said to me that she was in the hospital and that she was dying. He said, "I know, John, you're very sick, but could you go to see her? She would love to see you before she dies. She's in the Mercy Hospital in Wilkes-Barre." So I got in my car, and I drove down to the Mercy Hospital, and I came to her room. She had two children. One was Lillian. She had married someone by the name of Supley, and the other was Jean. Their last name was Terrell, Maria Terrell. Was dying and in bed. And when she looked up and saw me coming in the hospital door, she said, Oh, you're here. You're all here now. I can die. I can die in joy and peace. Her eyes widened, and then she looked at me and she said, "You're here, Father. You're here, Lillian." And then she went around the bed, naming five people. And on the right was Jean. Of course, I didn't see any of those around the bottom of the bed. And so I was just kind of taken with what she was seeing, but she was seeing them. And finally, I anointed her. I gave her absolution, gave her communion, gave her the last blessing. And it was such a magnificent opportunity for me to have been with her. She died. When Jean, her son, and Lillian and I were out in the hall, and they were getting her body ready for the undertaker, I said to them, I said, "Well, it was really wonderful that I was here, but wasn't that strange that she could name those people around the bed?" "Oh," they said, "Father, Mom had five miscarriages, and she named each one of them. And she said, when she was dying now, there they were. They were there to bring her to heaven." And so that was the beginning of my awareness of babies. You see, your baby, if you miscarried, is with God. When he left your womb, Jesus caught that baby. It's in his hands. When you aborted your baby, Jesus has that baby. I love the teaching of St. Thomas, that when we die, we continue living and then growing on in the next life until we're 33. How all these millions of babies have passed from this life, they are with him who was life itself, who began their lives. You see, the fertilization of the egg and the sperm, with the sperm, is only the beginning. With each one of those, God blew into it a soul. He's the creator of every human being. He's the one who makes me and you. We are God's life and creatures. His life, his soul is in each one of us. Every one of them are alive. No, the devil cannot destroy that. This is not a battle between Satan and God, as if the devil's winning. Every one of these souls that has been aborted and passed over is there, helping us, praying for us, in our darkness, and sometimes in our stupidity. If you're one of those mothers and you're listening that had an abortion, does God condemn you? No. No, he doesn't. God loves you just as he loves the child you killed. He loves you. He wants you to realize what you did. And he wants you with that child to enjoy all eternity, just like he loves Maria and her babies that she miscarried. And so with you, you have every opportunity. God's infinite love. God is not powerless in front of the devil. He's a creature. God is infinitely good, infinitely loving, infinitely life. And he will conquer, and he will assist you, even in your struggle, after you've had that abortion. And so, you know, I met this beautiful woman, and she called me. She wanted to go to confession. And it happened that the day she wanted to go to confession, and she realized that she had aborted a little boy. And I think she had the abortion when they had determined it was a little boy, but after that she aborted him. And she called me weeping and saying, "Today would have been his birthday." and she wanted to go to confession. And then the crying and the sadness and the brokenness of her heart after realize what she had done. And we named, gave the baby a name, and we talked about how God's mercy is infinite, and how that she really didn't know she had incurred all this sinfulness and brokenness from the church and from God by this act. It was done in just almost like a despair and a darkness. Anyway, after she reconciled and went to confession, a year later to the day, she called again, weeping and weeping. He would have been two. I wonder what he would have looked like. And all the tears and crying began all over again. And I said, you know, last year when you came, your sin was you aborted your baby. And God, in his infinite love, forgave you. This year, your sin is you didn't forgive yourself. God forgave you. And in your arrogance, you say to God, yeah, but I'm better than you, God. I don't forgive myself. I have a higher standard for me. Who are you to know the ugliness of your sin and the horror of your misdeed? If God says to you, I forgive you, forgive yourself. God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. God's mercy is infinite. Your act of depravity and sin is finite. His mercy is infinite. And so with the infinite love of the Savior, who came to earth to bring life and to bring love, today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And I'm so glad to be able to share a few thoughts with you today about that.
Well, we really thank you, Monsignor, because this is probably the greatest heartache, I think, that our nation as well as our world suffers. I mean, it's said that in the United States alone, that a third of the generation, one third of the generation since 1972, has been lost just to abortion. And when you read that that scripture passage where the dragon wipes away a third of the stars from the sky, that I've talked to young people who were born since then and have said that they're survivors of a Holocaust that we can't even imagine. And yet throughout the rest of the world, in China and in India, where there's the rampant selection of sex selection in pregnancy, and so many others. I mean, this is not necessarily the place to chronicle all that, but it is a nightmare. And yet, as you said, those souls are innocent. Maybe the battle is for us who are here and have survived. What will we do? I mean, how do we respond? I mean, by standing still and saying nothing, or allowing it to continue?
One of the images I have, you know, America, the beautiful America, the drained, the hemorrhaging, what America is doing with this horrible, horrible law of abortion, what America is doing to itself. And so when the beautiful America, America the beautiful, America the drained, America the anemic, America the one that is really decaying and falling. And so our prayer is that this hemorrhaging will stop of killing our babies and killing the innocent and the most beautiful of those who are being killed off by this horrible violence, which Mother Teresa called the worst violence of the human family at this time. There is no greater violence. There is no greater misery than abortion. And to think of that today on the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and to pray for our country.
And to continue, I would imagine too, to pray for those who are in the positions to make decisions to end these
Yes,
things, and that they have
and
courage.
also our electorate, and we're thinking about our leadership now. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America and its laws and its people and its leaders. My home, sweet home. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor
God
Assaf.
bless you.